Okay, if you have your attention back up here, we'll get started. So what I'd like to do is just move to very briefly look at page 10, the healing ministry of Jesus. I want to go over a few things with you for that before we go into the relationship model of prayer, and then we'll take some time to pray. I want to highlight a few things for you here just to indicate, show the extensiveness of healing in the Gospels. And so if you're looking to build a case for somebody, a case for healing, the statistics here, I think, will be kind of like, at least at the minimum, interesting, if not overwhelming, as to the role of healing in our life. Let's take a look, page 10. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed. And you can look at that at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are masterpieces of the work of the Lord. Just like a Rembrandt piece of art is a masterpiece, the Gospels, each one of them are a masterpiece of Jesus' ministry. And they give us a clear, accurate understanding of who he is and what he came to do. Second thing, there are 41 distinct instances of physical and mental healing that are recorded in the four Gospels. There are so many other references to Jesus' healing in multitudes. So not only did he heal individually, but then the multitudes that the Gospels mentioned. Multitudes is many. It could be hundreds to thousands. John chapter 20, verse 30, 31, we won't have time to read that, but talks about if all the things Jesus did were written down, we would have volumes. So in other words, even the Gospels didn't bother writing everything down. Nearly one-fifth of the Gospels is devoted to Jesus' healing ministry. I mentioned earlier that led Pope Benedict the 16th to say that Christianity is a therapeutic religion. Out of the 3,779 verses in the four Gospels, 727 relate specifically to healing of physical and mental illness and the resurrection of the dead. Okay, so just those numbers alone indicate how integral healing was to the ministry of Jesus. And as Pat so well pointed out, he equips his church then to carry on what he did. All right, so let's look at some key principles that Jesus used, some patterns. First of all, Jesus began his healing ministry and his whole ministry after his baptism in the Spirit and anointing by the Spirit. That's a very key understanding of Jesus' ministry. He didn't do anything until he was baptized in the Spirit in the River Jordan. So just think for a moment. Here's the Son of God on earth for 30 years. He didn't begin his ministry at all until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So he's filled with power from on high. Jesus was divine. He's Son of God. But he's also human as well. And in his humanity, Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's a great model for us. So I'd just like to reiterate what we've been talking about a little bit this morning, what Pat indicated with the gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are tools the Lord gives us to do well the ministry of healing. I know this wasn't a spiritual gift day or seminar, but the point is we need the gifts because they're tools to get the job done. A plumber, when he comes to your house, may be a master technician in plumbing. If he doesn't bring his tools, he's probably going to not do the job all that well, even though he's got a master license to do the job. He needs his tools. We need the spiritual gifts to be able to do healing ministry well. We also need to be filled with his Spirit because we need power from on high to do the work that Jesus did. This is not simply a human effort, human ingenuity, human goodwill, human niceness, caring for others. We need supernatural power to do the job that of ministry healing to others. So and Jesus modeled that for us. He didn't begin his ministry until that happened. Secondly, letter B, Jesus brought deliverance and healing to those who came to him. Whether it be physical, mental, emotional illness, Jesus brought healing to people. He didn't turn anyone away. It's important. The only time he got rejected was in his hometown of Nazareth. And there he couldn't, you know, they didn't really have much faith in him. So the scripture says he can only do a few healings, okay? So few is better than most in most parishes, right? So even in Nazareth, when they rejected and didn't put his faith in, they still did a few. So all those who come to him were being healed. Okay, so letter C, the gospel writers note that Jesus' works were motivated by compassion for the sick. So Jesus didn't heal to flex his divine muscles and say, I'm divine, look at me. No, Jesus healed because he had overwhelming compassion for the sick, the broken of mind, body, and spirit. That is true for us, too. Being filled with his compassion motivates us to care for the sick, to not only visit them, pray with them, take care of them, but also to pray with them to get well, to get healed. Letter D, Jesus seemed to be more able to heal in the presence of faith in him and his power to heal. We didn't talk a lot about faith today. We just hinted at it at certain points, but faith is really important. Faith in Jesus' power to heal, faith in his wisdom, in his goodness, in his love. Faith has to be somewhere. I pray with people before. I didn't have much faith in them getting well, be honest with you. But they had a lot of faith. They came to God. So faith was more present in them than it was in me. So I stepped out, recognizing that, I stepped out and prayed with them. Sometimes in a gathering like this, if we're praying for a particular individual or person, it's the corporate faith, collective faith of others that is powerful enough. But faith has to be somewhere. It's either in you, the minister, praying for the person. It's either in the person who's sick, receiving prayer, or it's in a prayer team of people praying with the person. The Lord operates and moves by faith. Letter E, Jesus was always willing to heal. The leper came to him and said, if you will, and he said, of course. One translation says, of course I want to heal. Of course. Jesus was always willing to heal. I think as Christians, we should be always willing to pray with others for healing. Letter F, Jesus used many different methods to heal. He touched a person. He spoke a word to them. He also spit on the ground, made saliva, put it at a person's eyes. He had many methods of healing. We don't recommend that method, okay, so for obvious reasons. But he used many methods. So I guess my point is there is no formula for healing. There is a variety of methods that are being used. But here's number two on page 11, which I really want to emphasize here. Jesus' healing motive and method was his relationship with his Father. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, he says, I don't do anything unless the Father do it. I don't speak anything unless I hear the Father speak it. Jesus did his works of healing, his teaching, his setting people free from evil for the express purpose of revealing the Father's heart. Every time we minister to the sick, we're going to reveal the Father's heart to them. So here's the catch to it. If that's the case, then let's look at the notes I have here. Jesus, the eternal Son of the Father, became flesh. The secret of his sinless life and miraculous power is bound up in relationship to his Father. He drew his power from the intimate, childlike relationship with his Father. The ability to hear what God was saying and do what he was seeing was the key to his effectiveness. By discovering the same kind of relationship with the Father rooted in simplicity, obedience, and trust, we can access his power and compassion for ministry to others through prayer. The key is our relationship with the Father, developing intimacy with him, cultivating a dependence on him, getting to know him as our Father, getting to talk to him and listen to him and pray, develop a prayer life in which we're consistent with it. We listen to his word. In other words, the key to power is a relationship with the Father in heaven. The key to releasing anointed power to heal others comes out of a simplicity of obedience and trust out of a relationship we have with the Father. If we're not praying, no power in your life. If you don't have a relationship with the Father, no power at work in your life. We have access to his power. We have access to his compassion as we cultivate a relationship with the Father in heaven. There's no substitute for that. And we'll only be as effective in ministry of healing to others if we have that, develop that relationship. Doesn't mean we have it overnight. We don't have to be saints overnight. It just means we start on it and we're consistent. We're committed to it. We want to develop it. But that is essential in prayer for healing and ministry healing to others as it is learning how to do it. In fact, I would say it's even more essential. You know? So just want to say that because there's all the methods in the world, all the ways of doing healing, all the different understandings of it. To me, it comes down to this: what's your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Some of us here need to be healed in our relationship with our earthly father figures, whatever that looks like, mother figures, whatever that looks like for us, before we can really understand and appreciate and receive the Father's heart for us. And so that's where inner healing comes in. That's where prayer of deliverance comes in. So we can be set free of the things that keep us from knowing our Father as He really is, as our daddy and we as His sons and daughters. You know. But as we grow in that relationship, more power will be released in your life. More compassion will be released in life. You'll never look at a sick person the same because you'll start to see them through the eyes of your Heavenly Father. And that's how Jesus saw him, through the eyes of His Heavenly Father. Okay. All right, so with that in mind, let's pull out your cards here, and we're going to look at the relational prayer model. This is an adaptation from other relational prayer models that are out there. Some of them are 3 steps, some are 5 steps, some are 10 steps even. So this one we just developed to be as simple as we can possibly be. So I'm going to take you through it, and then we're going to take time to pray with one another, probably in the same groups of 3 that you were before, and walk through the model with them for as long as we can do that. So first of all, let me just say this is not a formula. This is a relational model. When I say relational, it's relational with the person we're praying with. It's also relational with our Heavenly Father. So we're going to be listening to 2 people here, listening to the person in front of us who comes for prayer. We're going to be listening in our hearts to the Holy Spirit wanting to guide us as we pray for that person. So the first thing is you greet a person with a smile. Mother Teresa said, peace begins with a smile. Okay. And so we want a person to feel comfortable. And so ask the person's first name. What would you like prayer for? It seems like it's obvious. And I think a couple questions where we want to begin to understand what their condition is. So how long have you had this condition? The longevity of a condition gives us some sense of where this person is and where they've been dealing with this illness in their life. How long has it occurred? The extent of the pain and suffering maybe perhaps they're undergoing. Have you seen a doctor, and what did they say? What did the doctor say? Again, we're not looking for medical diagnosis, okay? We're not looking for complicated, reports. What we're looking for is just simple answers. How long have you had this? What did a doctor say about it? And did anything traumatic happen in your life when you noticed the condition beginning? Very important question, because as we mentioned before, we're holistic beings, that we're affected physically by things that have happened to us relationally, emotionally, even spiritually. So the question is, if a person comes to me and says that they developed nervous anxiety, and I asked them how long have they had it, they say they've had it for several years, and when did you notice beginning? After they were visiting, this is a true story, by the way, visiting the occult practices, they were visiting seances and so on, then that's a good indication to me that there's a relationship between where they were and what they practiced even for a short period of time and how that anxiety developed and how that's affected them physically. So I want to go back to the source as much as possible, begin praying there. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is prayer selection. There's simply 2 different ways of praying. First of all, we petition. We ask the Holy Spirit to come, reveal the Father's heart to whoever the person's name. So, Holy Spirit, reveal the Father's heart to Ashley. Okay, so simple as that. And then here's the thing about it. After you invite the Holy Spirit to come, chill out. Just be silent. Let him come. Give him space to come. Okay. The Holy Spirit wants to come and visit this person with his love, the Father's heart. He wants to bring the kingdom to bear upon their life. We don't need to feel the need to speak a lot of prayers, say a lot of words. Prayer ministry is not verbose words. You don't have to look for flowery words, a lot of words. Just simply come, Holy Spirit, reveal the Father's heart to Ashley, and then step back. As Pat so well indicated, keep your eyes open to see what the Lord's doing. Sometimes the Lord, you can see changes in a person's face. Their complexion changes. They get flushed, for example. Their eyes may involuntarily twitter. Sometimes people have tears. It will just very naturally and spontaneously come, and it's not, they're upset about anything. It just comes naturally. They're all can be signs of the Spirit's presence there that you can visibly see with your eyes. It's not a big deal. You just simply recognize the Holy Spirit visiting, and in your own heart, you just acknowledge that and bless that. You don't have to think that, healing could be taking place. Healing may not be taking place. We just say it's evidence of some evidence of the Lord's presence there. If your eyes are closed, you'll never see it. If your eyes are open, it's an indication of how the Lord is working with that person. So after allow a short space, it doesn't be a long space, it could be like a minute or two there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to, whatever that person needs. Let's say they came forth and they need healing for, let's say, diabetes, for example. So, Father, I ask you then to heal the diabetes. Okay. So, in other words, you pray simply for the condition. That's all. You don't need more words than that, because it's not you who do the healing. It's the Holy Spirit that does the healing. And you're praying in the name of Jesus. Pat said earlier, it's the authority of that name, the power of that name. That's the name that conquered sin and death and the evil one. That's the name that rose from the dead and is, as Paul's letter to the Philippians says, is higher than any other authority or power. So when you pray in his name, we've been privileged to pray in his name. We've been given his name. So we pray in his name. And it's his name that releases the power into that person's life. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal diabetes in Ashley. Okay. And then show out again. You don't have to do anything more. It's not you who do it. It's the Holy Spirit does it. So, however, we want you to be in your heart listening to what the Lord has to say. Pat's talked about the gifts. Words of knowledge. Just impressions you get about understanding that person that they didn't talk to you about, but just information you got that might be helpful to share with that person. Or it might be a prophetic word to encourage that person. It may be, as I'm waiting, allowing the Holy Spirit to come and just finish praying for the healing of diabetes, and the Lord gives an impression to me that Ashley has had a sense of brokenness with her father. So I share that. Ashley, is there anything in your background regarding your father that's hurtful to you? And if they say yes, then you can begin praying about that with them. If not, then that's okay. You just show out and let the Holy Spirit keep coming and doing his work. Again, it's not you, it's him. So you don't have to feel like, oh, did I blow it? I missed it. I heard wrongly. No, just share it. If it's not it, then you just back off. Sometimes the person's not ready to say yes to that, even though it's there, which is fine. We respect their space, honor them, and we just say, Holy Spirit, keep coming. Okay, that's it. Because you're ministry to that person. You love that person. Now, next point is a prayer of command. Prayer of command when you speak to the condition. So, for example, in the name of Jesus, let's say it's a tumor. I command this tumor to dissolve. So you speak directly. Why we speak directly to something? Because it's a living thing. A tumor is a living thing. It has life to it. Put it under a microscope and see the life to it, you know. So what we're doing is in the name of Jesus, we don't want the tumor hanging around, right? So we want to tell it to go. So in the name of Jesus, I command this tumor to dissolve. That's it. You don't make the tumor dissolve. I don't make the tumor dissolve. The Holy Spirit takes care of that. But we're praying directly in his name. Or if there's pain in a person's body. I often like to ask if there's pain because pain can be one of the greatest indications of measurements of how healing's taking place if the pain begins to decrease. Some conditions it isn't, like maybe diabetes it isn't, but if a person has back issues, a lot of Americans have back issues, you know, and they come forth to get prayed with, then you can say, well, where's the pain? Like, what level? Is it a 10, which is off the charts almost, or is it a 1, hardly existing, or somewhere in between? I think I shared this with another seminar. Once a lady at St. Philip Neri came to receive prayer. She had she was scheduled for surgery about 2 months out. She had neck pain. She couldn't sleep at night. She could hardly work. She needed to work. She was a divorcee, and so she just his only way to support herself. And she was on all kinds of medication. Medication was not helping at all. Therapy was out of the question. They tried it, didn't work. So surgery was scheduled. She said, "I need to get rid of this pain." She says, "Because nothing's working." So had her in my office for about a half hour, and I went through these steps here. And I spoke to the pain, and I command the pain to leave in the name of Jesus. And Didn't do, that's all. I just prayed that, prayed for the healing of her neck, whatever that was causing her. And I asked her after maybe about 2 minutes, where's the pain? At that, she came in level about 7 or 8. It dropped down to like a 5. Okay, then I said, okay, let's pray again. So we did. We repeated that process like 3 or 4 times, a repeat of a half hour. And she left the office, she had no pain. And 2 months later, in between that time, she had absolutely no pain at all. She could work, she could sleep. Medications weren't necessary for her at all. They weren't working anyway, but she didn't worry about it. Pain went away. She still needed the surgery, though. So, and she got the surgery, corrected the surgery. She had no pain after the surgery either. She was hardly on any kind of medication at all. So the Lord took away the pain, and surgery corrected her neck issue. And there was no pain present at all. So speaking to the pain, in the name of Jesus, I command all pain and swelling, let's say it's an ankle, to leave this ankle. And again, we're praying in the name of Jesus. Ask the person, after you do that, where is the pain? Okay, what level is it? We want to measure what's taking place. We want to celebrate what the Lord's doing by giving him thanks. We also want to continue praying. If they say, nothing's happened, let's pray again. Okay, so pray again. So don't take nothing's happened as a failure. Just simply say, let's pray again. It's not you. It's not about you anyway. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about Jesus ministering, healing. Okay, so this brings us to step 3. I'm getting into that. Stop the prayer and re-interview. Whatever is happening that's effective, give thanks to the Lord and bless what he's doing. So if the person says, you know, my pain went from, let's say, 7 to 5, I say, oh, it's great. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. Increase your presence. Increase your power. So I like to say, more love, more power, Lord. Bless what he's doing. If the person says, you know, I'm feeling all kinds of heat inside of me, say, thank you, Lord. Bless you for what, Lord, I bless you for joining. Increase your presence in Ashley, you know. So, and then you can go back and pray again. So repeat step 2. You don't, it depends upon your time. If it's sometimes a prayer team after Mass doesn't have a whole lot of time. Today we have a limited amount of time, but if you have an appointment set up with a person for 15, 20 minutes, a half hour or so, then you have a lot more time to deal with, which is great scenario to pray with a person. The prayer after Mass is great. We often like to say it's an introduction. Okay, we like to say there's more prayer that can be brought to you. Anointing of the sick at a healing Mass is a great thing to do. But I often say at the end of the healing Mass, we'd love to pray with you more. Make an appointment with us. We're happy to come and pray with you, you know. Because the longer you spend with a person in prayer, the more you can get a chance to see what the Lord's doing. And Pat's story with Francis McNutt was a great illustration of that. The longer you pray with a person, the more. Why is that? Because it's a lot of love in laboring in prayer with that person. And that person has a lot of openness to allowing you to pray with them. And it's on the wings of love the Lord releases his power to heal. And so the longer we're with a person, the more we cultivate love in that person's presence. Lastly, post-prayer suggestions. So this is when you probably think, okay, well, I pray with this person. Maybe the pain decreased. Maybe it didn't go anywhere. Maybe they got healed somewhat. Maybe they partially healed a little bit. They feel better. So what do? You have to end it sometime, right? So what do? Come back again at whatever time, set up an appointment with them perhaps, or maybe it's a prayer after Mass, come back to the Mass next week, we'll pray with you again. Maybe share with them some scriptures, you know, to read that might be helpful, passages from the Bible. That I often tell people to read some of the stories of Jesus healing people. I say take a big yellow highlighter, highlight it, you know, pick a story like the woman with the hemorrhage and just read it and reflect on it. I said put yourself in her place, that's you. How would Jesus respond to you? You know, how he responded to that woman is the exact same way he responds to you. Okay. And then I invite the person to keep giving thanks for what the Lord is doing. A lot of people start to get better after the prayer session is done. Maintaining a spirit of thankfulness to the Lord actually does help increase our openness to him and increase whatever healing has begun. Thankfulness is a key to so many things. An attitude of being grateful to what the Lord is doing, even if it's a small bit. You know, remember the loaves and the fishes? You know, Jesus took the loaves and the fishes. They weren't much for 10,000 plus people and multiplied it for everybody. A little bit of healing taking place, a little bit of increase of betterment for that person if we pray with them. Keep giving thanks. That's your loaves and fishes. Put it in the hands of the Lord. Let him multiply it until the next time we meet in prayer. Okay. So, again, this is not a formula. This is just a relational method. It's a way of dialoguing with the Lord. It's a way of dialoguing with the person we're praying with. It's a model we found helpful. It does take some practice, but we think it's simple enough that it can come after a while with enough practice, second nature, moving in and out of steps 1 through 4 here. Okay. So we're going to take the next 15, 20 minutes just to bring you into prayer. So I invite you to go back to the same teams that you prayed with before, same group, and I invite you to walk through these steps as best as you can. Again, this is not a formula. We want you to definitely interact with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and that person and pray with them. Okay, so we'll do that. We'll be back in about 15, 20 minutes.